God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Fear? Fear of the Lord? What do we mean by the fear of the Lord? What do we mean in the church? What do we mean when we say that we are called to fear the Lord and that the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him? What do we mean by the fear of the Lord? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Looking back in Isaiah, we have some wonderful words. Prior to where we began in verse 21 this morning, it reads, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Whom did he consult for his enlightenment? And who taught him, God, the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and accounted as dust on the scales. To whom then will you liken God? Indeed, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Fellow grasshoppers, we inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers compared to the God who measures out and balances the mountains in a holy scale, who spans the heavens with his hand to measure them out, and against whom the nations of the world, the Saddam Husseins of the world, are like a drop in the bucket, meaningless and powerless. My fellow grasshoppers, we stand in awe and fear of the great creator of all that we see. Go out at night when you have a clear night. Go out at night when the clouds are away and the sky is clear and you can look up in the sky and see the stars cast against the heavens. Go out deep into the country or up to the mountains away from the light pollution of the cities. And look at the sky and see the beauty of God's creation and all those stars beyond numbering. On the cruise to Hawaii, halfway between the continental United States and the Hawaiian Islands, we went out one night and we're walking on the deck and we went up to the very top deck. And about midnight, they turn off most of the lights except the running lights. And if you were up there after midnight and you look up at the sky, you can see so many beautiful, wonderful stars that you normally can't see with the naked eye in the city due to all the light pollution. You can see the glory of God's handiwork in the heavens by gazing up at the night sky. The God who created the glory of the heavens and the earth, the seas and the land and all that live on them and in them. The God who created everything, including you and me. We are like grasshoppers in comparison to him. He named and numbered the stars of the heavens. He knows how many hairs are on your head, Jim, and how much fewer there are on mine. He knows far more than we could ever hope to imagine to know. He knows everything and can do everything. He is indeed an awesome, mighty, powerful God. No wonder so many people are afraid of God. No wonder so many people are terrified of God. The God who created all that is, who masters it, who could destroy it all with a breath or with a sneeze or with a cough. He could wipe us out if he chose. No wonder so many people are afraid of God. What does the word fear mean? In English, the word fear has many definitions. It means to be frightened of, to be afraid of. Don't you love it when they use the same word to define it? To fear means to be afraid of. Okay. To be frightened of, to be afraid of. Here's a helpful one. To be apprehensive about or concerning, to be aware of danger, to expect danger or unwanted, unpleasant surprise, to be anxious or concerned about. All of these words are used. Many of them are synonyms for fear in English. To be anxious about or concerned about, to be anticipating harm or danger. I understand fear in many different ways, the most personal of them being when I was a child, when I was a kid, I remember being afraid of going upstairs. It was dark and spooky. At the top of the stairs, there was always shadows going down the hall to where my bedroom was. And just beyond my bedroom was the door to my brother's bedroom. And my big brother loved to hide in the bathroom across the hall from the entrance to my room, sneak out of his room and into the bathroom and hide in the shadows. And when I would go by to open the door to my bedroom, he'd always love to come out and go, "Mwah!" and scare the willies out of me. He loved frightening me. When we lived on Royal Lane in Dallas in a much smaller house and shared the same bedroom, I remember he used to sleep on the bunk above me. And I was on the bottom bunk. And it used to frighten me because I'd be lying there in bed after we'd go to sleep. We'd just said our prayers. Chuck would refuse to say his. We'd go to sleep or try to go to sleep. And I'm laying there. And my brother would hang over the edge of the bed and reach down and start throwing things at me. Pieces of paper, stuffed animals, bothering me, frightening me. Or in the middle of the night, I'd just drifting off to sleep, he'd go, "Greg, I'm going to eat you." He used to frighten me. My brother was mean. Who didn't have an older mean brother? Now, who wasn't an older mean brother? Oh, well, that doesn't work either, does it, Tim? He used to frighten me. I used to be afraid of going up those stairs. My brother would be up there to scare me. I was afraid, also still am afraid, of snakes. Woo. I know it's an irrational fear. I know most snakes are harmless. It's those few that aren't harmless that give me the willies. And, of course, the fact that a woman very long time ago couldn't keep from talking to a snake. It got us in the situation we're in today. That and a husband who couldn't do what was right instead of listening to his wife. And both of them have responsibility there. I don't like bees. If I get stung by a bee, I swell up. So I'm afraid of bees. I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid still to this day of going up into dark shadows up a long flight of stairs. Tell you what I'm really afraid of, sanctuaries at night with the lights out. I don't know what it is, but church sanctuaries at night with the lights out and nobody in them are frightening. When I was pastor at Trenton United Methodist Church up in Trenton, Texas, They had a hot water heating system. And I'd be in the office late at night working on a sermon or whatever, and then the heating system would power up. And you'd hear this knocking sound, bang, 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 as the radiators would fill up with hot water. And it would move around the church building. And if you happen to be walking through the sanctuary and it starts to move around the sanctuary, it's a frightening sound. At midnight, with all the lights out, afraid, fear. That's not the only meaning of the word fear, friends. There's another meaning to that word. It's actually more appropriate. Word fear means profound reverence, awe and respect toward and for God or someone in authority or power. A parent, a grandparent, a governor, a king, a president. Fear can mean awesome regard and respect for God. Fear can mean, indeed here does mean, loving, awe-inspired respect and regard for God. Look at the context. We should allow the Bible to help us interpret the Bible. That's one of the ancient principles of scriptural exegesis. Now, somebody asked me once, what does the word exegesis mean? Does it mean you go through the Bible and exegesis out of it every time you see his name? No. No, it means it's based on the Greek word to explain or unfold. And an exegesis of Scripture means an explanation of or unfolding of Scripture. So we should allow the Scriptures to help us exegete or explain or interpret Scripture. Take a look in Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him." Now, in Hebrew poetry, you usually have a line which makes a statement. Then you have another line which repeats the statement with different words, either to make sure that you didn't miss it the first time through, or to explain it if you didn't understand it the first time through. So you have a line here in verse 11, the first line of the verse, which says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him." And then it explains it. "In those who hope in His steadfast love." In those who hope in His steadfast love. Hoping in God's steadfast love is the essence of the fear of the Lord. Not of being afraid of the Lord. It is the essence of the fear of the Lord. The awesome regard and expect for the Lord, respect for the Lord. The awesome regard and respect for God is manifested in fear of the Lord. That's the essence of it, friends. Not but awesome regard and respect. The steadfast love of the Lord is the love of the Lord that never leaves us. The steadfast love of the Lord is the unearned favor of God that never departs from us. The steadfast love of the Lord is the love of God that comes to us even though we don't earn it or deserve it. Regardless of who we are and what we have done, the steadfast love of the Lord is the love of God which is always there, never ending, never ceasing, never departing, never rejecting, always there. The steadfast love of the Lord never leaves us. It is steadfast. That's what that word means, to never leave. Steadfast. It is always with us, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we do. Because Jesus died for you and me, the steadfast love of the Lord will never depart. it will always be with us. And we who hope in the steadfast love of the Lord will have an awesome regard and a respect for the God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who holds it all in the palm of his hands, who weighs it out on scales, measures it with the palm of his hand, and against whom we are all grasshoppers. Hope in the steadfast love of the Lord is manifested in recognizing that the God who created all that you see and are, all that you know, all that you can know, the God who created the stars up in the heavens, the God who created this earth here beneath our feet, the God who created you and me, this God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die on the cross for our sins, that we might never have to be afraid of him, but may stand in awe and reverence at his majesty, glory, and power, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, free to worship him and approach the throne of grace. My brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the awesome respect for his glory, majesty, power, and creative abundance. The fear of the Lord is the awesome respect for the glorious gift of grace that he gives us in Jesus Christ our Lord, so that we may never have to be afraid, but may have true God-given, grace-filled, and Holy Spirit-inspired praise and adoration for the glorious majesty of God. My brothers and sisters, as we move through this season of Epiphany, as God continues to reveal to us the truth of the nature of the Christ child, whom we will now watch as he moves up Golgotha to be crucified on a cross for you and me. In the season of Epiphany, as God reveals to us the truth of the nature of the Christ child for us, let us truly recognize the awesome majesty, the awe-inspiring, the awesomeness of God, who created all that we see, who created you and me, and who gives us truly his grace to live a life of faith, following in his promise, hoping in his steadfast love. The love of God is here for you today. It's here in the prayers that we have offered. It is here in the prayers that we will offer. It's here in the hymns that we have sung and will sing. It's here in the scriptures that we have read and proclaimed. It is here in the giving that we will be giving and the fellowship that we have with each other. Receive it, all my friends. Receive it. Accept the steadfast love of the Lord. For indeed our God is an awesome God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.